more than a decade, Saturdays and Illegal Curve have been synonymous with one another. With insight, analysis, and interviews regarding the Winnipeg Jets, the Manitoba Moose, and all around the NHL, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Dave Manouk, with a recovered Ezra Ginsberg. Ezzy, congratulations on defeating your bout with Legionnaire's disease. Nice to see you back. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We're here for the next couple of hours talking about the Winnipeg Jets, talking about the Manitoba Moose, talking about the Winnipeg Ice. A very busy Saturday in store as all three teams are in action. Two in Winnipeg, the Jets and the Ice, of course, and then the Manitoba Moose in action on the road in Texas against the Stars. Gentlemen, good to see you both. Before we begin, I want to show the audience something. I was sufficiently shamed during the post-game show on Thursday night. So I have gone deep into my pockets and I have acquired a box of tissue so that I no longer have to use toilet paper. So I thank all of you for your advice. I thank all of you for your guidance. I thank all
of you. Were you wiping your nose with toilet paper?
I had to sneeze on Thursday's post-game show and all I had next to me was a roll of toilet paper because once when I had a cold and I was doing the show, we were out of Kleenex. So I used the toilet
paper. Tough times at the Mandel household.
That's what I'm saying. And then all the good people in the chat were castigating me for my use of toilet paper instead of tissue or Kleenex, if you want to use the name brand. But I have acquired a box and we should be okay for at least the rest of today's show now that I have my trusty tissue box next to me. Good to see you both,
gentlemen.
I'm not mocking
you at all, by the way, Drew. I mean, I was a bachelor for many, many years, as you guys know, before I met Naomi and my entire world changed for the better. I have two kids to prove it, but I'm gonna lie if I say that I didn't have a roll of toilet paper beside my bed, you know, when I was sick. But by the way, I don't know if your kids are sick right now, but my kids were sick basically all week. I mean, there's something.
Thanks for coming to my house.
Well, I'm not sick though. That's the thing, Dave. Like my Ruben's been sick for the last 6 days, and I'm not sick, but. Yeah, it was a tough week. There's something going around, but hopefully if you get your vaccines and flu shots and everything like that, you'll be all right. But as you know,
please, dear God, that's not an invitation to debate that. That is not an invitation to debate that comment. Do not debate that comment. Whatever you do, do not debate that comment in the chat. We don't want to go down that road whatsoever.
We'd like to welcome Marjorie Taylor Greene to the chat.
Yes, Lauren Boebert is going to be joining us a little bit later on, or whatever the hell her name is. Dave, good to see you.
Keep it focused. Let's go.
No, never any focus. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is going to join us early on this Saturday morning as the Jets, of course, are in action against the Pittsburgh Penguins later on tonight. Illegal Curve post-game show right around 8:45, 9 o'clock. You know when the final whistle goes, you come back here to this YouTube channel. But there's a Jets game day skate coming up in about 25 or so minutes. Usually an optional, at least it has been under Rick Bonus, and I would imagine that's going to be similar. And I guess the question we're going to watch out for as it pertains to game day skate is particularly who's going to be on the ice from the back end, because we don't really expect there to be many changes up front unless there's somebody else who's banged up from Thursday, Dave, because they didn't skate yesterday, so, and they haven't called anybody up, so that would tell me that they're probably healthy up front entering tonight's game. Well, let me rephrase. There aren't any new injuries because we know they're not healthy, but it's the question about, I guess, the status of Dello is largely going to be a question mark. And if he can't go, does that mean Ville Heinola gets into the line? The Jets continue to stick with Kyle Capobianco. Speaking of the devil, here he is, Mike McIntyre from live at the downtown arena. Mike, good morning. Nice to see you. How are things?
I'm doing well. Drew, did you forget the name of the downtown arena, or has it undergone a name change like the
no.
Iceplex? FTX crypto, Mike.
I heard it.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
The Illegal Curve Supercenter.
That's it. That, you know what, that rolls off the tongue.
It does.
Sometimes I have the philosophy that until the naming company pays me to say their name, I don't need to say their name. That, you know, and they haven't been knocking down my door to get me to say their name. So we'll call it the Downtown Arena. Sometimes I'll even call it the Canada Life Center, where you are ahead of tonight's matchup.
Why don't we call it what it really is, guys? Dave Manuk's second home.
It's true. Do you see, is the Dave Manuk cot behind you? Or you, do you see the cot anywhere nearby?
Yeah, it's getting its usual upgrades, new bedding, new pillows. Pillows are being fluffed.
I'm a fancy guy.
Yeah.
Mike, can you order me a Bud Light, by the way?
Drew, it's, I mean, hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
In Ezzy's world, it's always 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Mike, speaking about upgrades or speaking about changes, the Jets are going through some flux, I would say, especially when it comes to the injury situation that they're currently facing. I was mentioning, you know, when the next 20 minutes when they head on the ice, we're going to keep an eye to see if Dylan DeMello's back there, see if it's Ville Heinola is on the ice. I would expect right. He would be, not necessarily taking rushes. Kyle Capobianco, is he in the lineup? Lots of changes for this Jets team, lots of adversity for this Jets team, yet they keep on winning. You know, it is getting to be the point of just, you know, plain old-fashioned impressive the way they continue to persevere and carry on.
Well, and, you know, that's what good teams do, and the Jets are striving to be a good team. They play within their systems, and, you know, Rick Bowness talked at the beginning of the year about how he wanted all his lines to kind of look the same way in terms of the way they play. I imagine then that mentality would apply regardless of who's in the lineup. Guys go out, new guys come in. He wants them to still keep looking the same, keep rolling. And you know, we see elite teams that they can withstand all kinds of injuries, and they tend to just keep doing what they're doing. Do the Jets have that kind of depth to withstand, you know, some significant long-term losses? Well, we're going to find out. In the case of Winnipeg, I mean, it is remarkable to think that the roster they rolled out on opening night against the New York Rangers, of the 18 skaters that night, five of those 18, nearly 33%, were injured the other day. And you know, that includes guys, you know, two defensemen in DeMello and Stanley. And you could debate the loss of Stanley. Some will say that, you know, they withstand that just fine by putting Dylan Sandberg in over him. But I think up front, you look, you know, that the three forwards that are out, that's three of your top nine forwards. That's two thirds of your third line. You know, Appleton and Barron began the year as the third line with Lowry. And Nikolaj Ehlers, of course, who was supposed to be part of a new look top line, one that we thought might just be one of the best top lines in the National Hockey League, at least offensively. And, you know, he's played two games, and we have no idea at this point when his third game is going to be. So the depth is being tested. You know, you look at the other day, three guys in the top nine as a result that wouldn't probably be there if not for injuries: Sam Gagne, Saku Manilainen, and Axel Janssen-Fjällby. You know, those three guys playing elevated roles. And then you've got other guys now in the lineup who wouldn't even be in the lineup. You know, Mikey Essamont, Dominic Toninato. You know, so Jansen Harkins, of course, is up with the team. The trickle down is now the Moose are having to recall guys to kind of fill their spots. The domino effect is in full effect. And, you know, we'll see. We know with Barron and Appleton, those guys aren't coming back anytime soon. We're not so sure about Nikolaj Ehlers now. Rather ominous updates the other day on him. So this may be the new normal, if you will, for the Jets, that they're going to have to, you know, barring some other move to boost their ranks, help is going to have to come from within at this point.
Mike, we got to continue with Nick Ehlers, right? And you mentioned that we just don't know right now, right? And so I'm obviously not going to ask you a question that you already answered, but I mean, you're around the team, you know, more. We cover the team, but you're around the team, obviously, more than we are. And, you know, how concerned are you that, you know, this is long-term? Because, I mean, there's speculation it's groin. All we know is it's lower body, and it's all speculation at this point. So, I mean, it could be a groin. It could be a hamstring. We just don't know. But, I mean, like you said, you use the word ominous, and I think that's a perfect word because the way Rick Bowness and just the way the Jets team is talking about this, it seems like, you know, something like surgery is on the table. I mean, how concerned are you personally that, you know, this could be something where Ehlers is out of the lineup for another, you know, month or two?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably up around a 9 or 10 right now, guys. I don't think the news is good at all. And I think even when he skated the other day, which of course that had been pushed back so much. I mean, from what we originally thought was 7 to 10 days, and then he was going to come on that next road trip and skate, and then he didn't. And then he just didn't skate at home. And then, you know, he finally does skate, but it's by himself or with one of the trainers, and for a very brief period of time. And then when that's not followed up with a skate the next day, and Rick Bowness is using words like, we're going to have to make a decision here soon. And then he says, others are going to have to make a decision. I mean, I think you can read between the lines. They're talking about medical staff. And it seems to me, and again, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on television or on YouTube. but, you know, when you have a guy that's been off the ice as long as he has, and then he has one quick skate, and then they're talking about decisions and next steps, I think the, you know, we can all figure out what they're talking about. It's whether or not he needs to go under the knife, or if this is something that with more time could potentially just take care of itself. And they've obviously given it a lot of time. We're going into like 5 weeks now. Whatever this issue is, has not repaired itself or gotten to a point of, say, pain management where he can obviously skate through it. And for a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers, I mean, if it's groin related, this is a guy who obviously relies on his speed. You know, that's one of his biggest weapons. And, you know, if you neutralize that, if you take that element of his game away, he's just not the same player, right? And I think, you know, we've all heard about groin injuries. They can be notoriously nagging, and where, you know, you got to be very careful because you could make it worse before you make it better. We also know, and again, this is getting into the speculation territory, things like hernias, you know, sports hernias, whatnot, those would be lower body injuries. And those are things that maybe mask themselves, aren't readily apparent right away. And guys have tried to kind of got through them, and ultimately either they can or they can't. So, you know, I'm curious if we get any more update today. The Jets were obviously off yesterday. I'm not expecting to see Nikolaj Ehlers on the ice here as the players start to trickle out here this morning. I'd love to be surprised and see him, but I'm not holding my breath. And we'll see if Rick Bowness, you know, has another update today, or if it's just another, you know, ask me about it in a few more days kind of situation.
Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, Mike is live in downtown Winnipeg at the Canada Life Center, where the Jets are getting ready to have their game day skate ahead of tonight's contest against the Penguins of Pittsburgh. The Illegal Curve post-game show later tonight, 8:45, 9 o'clock, around there, back here on our YouTube channel.
Mike, I'm old enough to remember when Nikolaj Ehlers was a game-time decision for that game in Colorado. So, yeah, it's definitely been an unusual situation with him.
This has doesn't this remind you guys of Tyler Myers a few years ago, where Tyler Myers went from day to day to week to week to month to month to, I think it was a season ender at that point. So, you know, so just to be clear, I'm not suggesting, I think in that case, Paul Maurice was being trying to be clever with the updates on Myers. I don't think that's the case here. I think they genuinely thought he was day to day, or that was the hope. And, you know, obviously it hasn't turned out to be that way.
You know, Mike, but one of the things with all these injuries that are taking place is, like you said, the Moose are getting recalls as a result, and their guys are getting opportunity. One guy who's going to get an opportunity is Mikey Essamont, or he's getting an opportunity right now. He's played 2 straight games, you know, now has 3 NHL games under his belt. But what have you seen from him? Because obviously when you watch him with the Moose, he's relentless, he's tenacious. Those are the 2 words I'd use to describe him best. What have you seen? Have you seen him get more comfortable now in the NHL and start to try and play the game that we know him playing in the AHL now at the NHL level?
I loved his game on Sunday, especially, guys, in Seattle. I mean, I thought, you know, he came out and did exactly what they hoped he'd do. Rick Bowness had talked about, you know, an injection of energy, and it's funny because the Jets were playing a guy that Mikey Esmont were playing against a guy that Mikey Esmont reminds me of a little bit. That's Brandon Tanev. You know, just an energy guy, you know, always going. And it's funny, you know, the Jets now have two of those guys kind of in their lineup where I've long thought ever since Tanev left, they need a guy or two like that. And Axel Janssen-Fialbi plays sort of a similar style. I don't think either of those guys has necessarily the NHL, you know, the offensive touch that maybe a Brandon Tanev has developed. But obviously a guy like Tanev has a lot more games under his belt, and he's, you know, he's a guy that can score some goals. You know, Fialbi and Essamont, they probably aren't there at the NHL level, but they do have that, those traits that you love to see, you know, not the biggest guys, but they play big. And, you know, Essamont can be a real burr in the saddle, get under the opponent's skins, you know, finish checks, get in on the forecheck. So I really liked what he brought, you know, on Sunday. And I thought he continued that the other night here against Anaheim. And you're right. I mean, he probably at this point, they obviously have one extra forward here. Jansen Harkins was the sort of healthy scratch the other day. His face is still a mess from taking that Sam Gagner puck. I think he could probably play, but at that point, they're probably like, well, do we play Jansen Harkins, who might be 90% or 85 or whatever, over 100%? So I think he's sort of a healthy slash unhealthy scratch. But, you know, at this point, who would be next to be recalled? I mean, that's an interesting thing to ponder, you know, if you're the Jets. And so going back to the Ehlers thing, you know, you wonder, guys, at some point, does a Chaz Lucius or Big Bad Brad potentially get a look in a top six, top nine role? And, you know, if you hope that this is it for injuries for a while here, but the reality is, and the Jets have a very busy schedule, you know, they're playing every other day now for the next couple months, right? Basically it averages out. So, you know, the history tells you that they may have to dip potentially further into that depth chart. And so that next man up mentality probably means guys like Mikey Essamont are here for a while and are going to get an extended look. And, you know, good for them. Guys like that have worked their tails off in the minor leagues, you know, waiting for opportunity. It's arrived. And I think he's done a real nice job so far of making the most of it.
Well, Mike, you talk about, you know, potential additions from the AHL level. I mean, it would be very out of character for the Jets to go the trade route. I mean, last time they sort of made a trade out of injury desperation is going back to when they acquired Jay Harrison, you know, from the Carolina Hurricanes, if you want to go, you know, probably that far back.
What is that, like 2015?
Yeah, I think that would have been it. 14, 15, something like that. It was way, you know, when they had that huge rash of injuries on the back end.
Shout out to Lee Stempniak.
Well, you know, Lee Stempniak, at least as he was a trade deadline acquisition, Jay Harrison was mid-season. I mean, the Jets don't make very many mid-season trades, Evander Kane notwithstanding, if you want to go even, you know, if you want to go even further back. That said, Mike, could you see that as a possibility? A lot of, you know, people from outside of Winnipeg are saying, well, the Jets have a glut of defensemen. I don't really think they know that some of the Jets defensemen are banged up, but they have a glut of defensemen and they could use some help up front. I mean, I don't think a trade's going to necessarily, you know, come to fruition. It would be very out of character, but, you know, tell me if you agree or you think that it's something that's being considered in the brain trust.
Look, I think if the Jets were going to move, especially a veteran, you know, core type defenseman, I think it would have happened already because, you know, I think that was something in the offseason that we all thought might happen. And then it didn't. For whatever reason, it didn't. I don't think Kevin Cheveldayoff is looking at his 10-4-1 team that leads the NHL in goals against and saying, what starting D-man can I remove from this roster right now? You talk about not the Winnipeg Jets way. That would really not be the Jets or the Kevin Cheveldayoff way. So I don't see at this point, I know, you know, names like DeMello and Schmidt and Dylan, they all get thrown out there. And they were at one point, I think for good reason. I just don't see it at this point because I think the Jets would see that as like, you're taking a piece now off a team that's going really well. That's just kind of messing with things, and I just don't see them doing that. So then you get into a, well, would they trade a prospect? Would they trade Vili for help, for instant help? You know, I guess if the offer blew them away, like I saw Frank Saravelli the other day.
Yeah, Nick Robertson.
Threw out a Nick Robertson for Vili trade proposal. I didn't see what the votes came up because I think he put it to a public vote. I'd be curious, you know, what folks would think about that. But, could you trade a piece that you're banking on for your future? And Rick Bonus just talked about Vili the other day. Again, very important part of our future. I think if you look at the Jets' blue line, like, what do they have in the prospect pool beyond Vili and maybe Declan Chisholm and maybe Leon Gavanki, Simon Lundmark? But are you going to trade your top defensive prospect for immediate help? I mean, I guess if you're sort of taking a, we're trying to win right now and, you know, we win at all costs mentality, or would you trade a draft? Would you move your first round draft pick? Well, this would probably not be the year to risk doing that because if you fall out of a playoff spot, you know, that's a really tricky. So I just wonder what the Jets would have to shop that could help them right now. And so I'm with you, Drew. I mean, I don't think it's very likely. I think maybe more likely to happen is we see another waiver claim at some point, depending on who might be out there. Mm-hmm. On the market, you know, Tyson Jost was put on waivers yesterday. I'm not saying the Jets are going to pick him up today, but every time a forward now becomes available on waivers, I think you have to kind of wonder, well, could this be a fit? And if everybody was healthy, well, no, probably not. But at this point, you know, desperate times maybe call for desperate measures. So I don't think so desperate that they make a trade that they're not comfortable with, but a waiver claim for a forward that they think can step in and at least fill a hole. That might be something in the works for sure.
Tyson Jost is an interesting one, Mike, former first round pick. He's a good player for UND. At least I remember watching him and he was a really good player. I agree with you guys. I mean, I don't, it's a combination, Mike, of Chevy's track record, right, of when he makes trades. And it's also, I think a lot has to do with, like you just mentioned, Dylan DeMello, his status is uncertain for tonight, right? And you've got, I wanted to ask you about Vili Heinola, who you just mentioned. But I think a lot of you know, why I don't think a trade is likely is also the Jets' record right now. 10-4-1. Right. And you could say that, you know, the Jets want to keep the good times going here. But I think, you know, with the break in the schedule, the Jets haven't had as many games and they're doing really well first in the Central, or at least tied for first in the Central. So I agree with you. But what do you think the likelihood of Vili Heinola plays tonight? Like, we're talking about him being traded. I don't think that's very likely. I think you guys would agree as well. But what is the chance that you think that he plays tonight against, obviously, a mediocre Pittsburgh team at this point, but a team that has a lot of weapons? Because we know that Rick Bonus doesn't want Vili Heinola, you know, sitting in the press box for too long. So do you think there's a chance that he comes in for Capobianco tonight?
If Dylan DeMello can't go tonight, I honestly would think Vili Heinola will play. That would be my guess. I think the other day, you know, he had just been recalled in the morning. I don't think he was immediately, and maybe he would have immediately gone in the lineup if it wasn't Dylan DeMello that was banged up. But, you know, Nate Schmidt, Josh Morrissey, or Neil Pionk, where they knew they could just throw him right in on one of the power play units, kind of right off the hop. And, but that wasn't the case. So yeah, I think they are going to give him a look, as, and Rick Bonus kind of said that in his answer to me the other day, that he doesn't want him to sit. And depending how long he's up here, he said he will get a chance to play. And the reading between the lines now, what he was basically saying is if Dylan DeMello is out for very long, yes, Vili will play. But if DeMello isn't really out for very long, Vili probably goes right back to the Moose, because then they don't need two extra defensemen up here at this point. You know, Capobianco will already be sitting in the press box. They don't need a second guy at this point. So, yeah, I think a lot will depend on Dylan DeMello. I'm just looking. Looks like about half the guys are out here so far. They're about 5 minutes away from the start of skate. And I do... so hard to tell now, you know. One of the changes Rick Bonus has brought, which I don't like, is they're down to just two colors. Jersey colors.
Yeah.
It used to be they had the defensemen all in red, and then sometimes you had the forward lines all had their own colors. Now it's just blue and white. And it's so you get defensemen wearing blue, defensemen wearing white, along with the forwards. And with no numbers and where we sit, it's hard sometimes to tell who the hell is out here. So I've done a quick scan. I don't see Dylan DeMello yet, but they haven't closed the door. So,
Mike, can you tell Rick Bonus to have Dylan DeMello in a bright neon green jersey just so we can identify him?
Well, so I can tell you one thing. There's the red now. It used to be yellow was the non-contact. Now it's red. There is no red out here right now, and red would be Nikolaj Ehlers. Like, if he was going to be part of this skate, he'd be wearing red. And so I can tell you that I do not see a red jersey out here. So there's no Nikolaj Ehlers. But I'll see you the next few minutes here. I'll see if I can spot, I spy with my little eye, Dylan DeMello. But nothing yet.
You know, Mike, it's the other guy you should be looking for is Logan Stanley, because that slight foot fracture that he, you know, suffered at the game at the end of October was supposed to be a 2-week situation. And, you know, they're approaching week three and he's not even on the ice. And Rick Bonus isn't even talking about him. So there's another guy who, you know, his status was supposed to be kind of back and now he's not, obviously. But, you know, I want to kind of rewind quickly just to the Timu Tempo night, because that was such a nice return to the past, if you will. You obviously wrote about it for the Winnipeg Free Press. So, you know, that you've had a few days to digest it. What are your overall thoughts on what took place on Thursday night?
Well, it was a great night for sure. And, you know, it's too bad the building wasn't full. It would have been nice to have another 1,000 folks kind of taking it in. You know, I suppose in hindsight, it would have been nice if they could have banked some additional time to maybe have those guys speak, like, during the ceremony on the ice. But I think for fans, even just seeing them in the building was a nice touch. And obviously they, you know, they played tribute videos throughout the game and, you know, cut to highlights of them and then showed them later in the game. And it was a nice way to cap off the night, of course, with, you could argue, the best, you know, pure scorer of the 2.0 era, picking a pretty good time to kind of break out of his slump with the best pure scorer of the 1.0 era in the house. So kind of a nice storyline there. But
although, Mike, he missed the opportunity to throw the glove in the air, like he said after the post game.
Done it.
To hear him after say that him and Blake Wheeler had talked about it, I mean, it was right there. Dallas Eakins was right there too. It could have all been, although I don't think Dallas would have wanted to, when he scored that third goal, if he had thrown his glove towards Dallas Eakin, it probably would have ended up in the upper deck somewhere, I would think, given how mad I'm sure Dallas was over what went down. But, you know, one thing, guys, and I've written about this, one thing you have to tip your hat to what True North has done here is they've really, and for the longest time, Jets 1.0, that was sort of in the past. And they were trying to establish, obviously, the whole new identity here. And I get why they were doing that. But in recent years, the way True North has kind of bridged the past with the present, you know, started in 2016 with the Heritage game, and then they got another one, of course, and the jerseys, the way they've incorporated the alumni back in a lot of ways, you know, obviously the Hawerchuk statue, you know, is a big, big one. And that ceremony was just first class all the way. And now this, like, I just love, as somebody, you know, 47 years old, grew up in this community. I mean, a lot of Jets 1.0, of course, I remember that. And so to now kind of see it, you know, come full circle is a really nice thing. By the way, guys, they're just starting line rushes. So I can tell you here momentarily, we just had Pionk and Morrissey take the first rush. We've got Dylan and Schmidt now taking the second rush. And you give me a few seconds, I'll be able to tell you who the third defense pair.
We will stall.
Doing the rush.
Mike, here. This is way better than Twitter, by the way.
It is. We're getting live Twitter. Yeah. So there is. Well, now we're back to Morrissey and Pionk. Apparently,
they're playing first 4D. Pairing.
Yeah. 4D today, and those 4D. Guys are going to play. So
it's beer league. It's beer league hockey tonight.
So you know what? This is brutal. The end that I'm sitting on, guys, they're only doing line rushes with, so that the other guys are at the far other rink. So I'm trying to see who the heck.
Get Mike some binoculars.
Yeah, Mike, we'll wait. If you want to go to the other end,
we'll take your computer there. I do need the binoculars to see which D that is. I mean, I can see it's Dylan Sandberg, but who the heck is that, Capobianco or DeMello? You know, now that I look, that really does look like Dylan DeMello. I see the mustache. So I do think I see Dylan DeMello out here, guys.
So DeMello's back tonight, according to Mike McIntyre.
Breaking news. DeMello helped me.
Take it with a slight grain of salt, because I'm looking at about 200 feet away here. My eyes are still watering, too, from the very frosty walk from the parking spot over to the rink here today. It's a cold one out there.
That's the way hockey's supposed to be. Mike, we'll let you go on this last question. You wrote about it, I think it was last week, might have been 10 days ago, about the Jets' new mantra, the agreement they all signed in Banff. Right. How much do you see, you know, obviously, you know, putting pen to paper means something, but then putting that paper into action, how much do you see them sort of living up to those core values and what they really met and cleared the air on to sort of be their North Star for this season?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting development for sure. And the fact that this is not like some corporate PR slogan or something the teams come up with. This is all player driven. Interesting that it came out of Banff and, you know, that retreat that the team had and, you know, the bonding that they did. I think, you know, it's something that they needed after last season, kind of a reset, a refresh, if you will, of what happened, you know, down the stretch, where clearly there was a lot of fracture and finger pointing and, you know, complaining going on. They kind of all reset their minds and, you know, they got together as a team. They came up with kind of their mission statement, which, again, you don't really see that from a hockey team. You might see it from a Fortune 500 company. But, you know, I think it's great. And the fact it's prominently displayed in the room, the fact it is something that they see every day, you know, I think we're seeing the fruits of that labor in a lot of ways. And this team, you know, come together. And that's important. I mean, yeah, talent and systems and all that. I mean, obviously very important to hockey. But there's intangibles, too. Anybody who's played a team sport knows that. And, you know, I think with the new coaching staff and kind of the new clean slate and the fresh approach, they're really trying to tap into that. Guys, so they just now broke up the line rushes. They just did sort of a couple laps here of skating. So I got a better look. That was Kyle Capobianco that I said I thought might be Dylan DeMello. I don't see out here now in hindsight. I see Capobianco. Billy Hanel is out here as well. I only see the 7D. So looks like Dylan DeMello, you can play that breaking news tone again. It looks like Dylan DeMello's not out here. So it looks like Capobianco was taking the rushes again with Sandberg, but I think Billy mixed in a bit. So again, you know, is it the same lineup as the other day? That's the other thing, right? Sometimes coaches, you don't want to change a winning lineup.
Right.
Or maybe the Jets go 11-7, Mike.
Well, that's a possibility for sure. You know, it'd be interesting. You'd have another weapon to potentially use on the power play. So we'll find out from Rick Bonus here in short order. But, yeah, you just hope, you know, with Dylan DeMello, I do wonder, guys, if it's an illness as opposed to an injury, only because he was a full participant at Tuesday's practice, I believe it was.
Right.
And so... And nobody noticed, you know, he didn't leave.
No, it was Wednesday. But I think because he missed Tuesday and then he skated Wednesday and then didn't play on Thursday.
So there was nothing obvious, but, you know, it's possible that it's related to illness. But we'll see. But just another, you know, they've weathered the storm so far. Obviously, competition a little tougher tonight with with the Penguins in town versus the Ducks. They just hung an unconverted touchdown on the Wild the other day. So you're probably feeling good about their game. It should be a fun matchup. Always fun when Sid the Kid's in town.
Absolutely.
We'll be there tonight. You'll see us at the popcorn line, Mike. Before we let you go.
Save some jelly beans for me.
Yeah, before we let you go, Mike, I was just wondering, if I gave you a couple hundred bucks, can you get me a Dak Prescott jersey next week?
A couple hundred bucks barely gets me into that building.
I was going to say.
So I might have to up my retainer, Ezzy. Yeah, Jerry World. That'll be on Thursday. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm on the next road trip with the Jets through Minnie and Dallas and Chicago. And the Jets are actually all going to that game as well.
Oh, nice.
There'll be a large Winnipeg contingent watching the Cowboys play the New York Giants on Thanksgiving Thursday there. It should be a lot of fun. One of the biggest stadiums in the world, right? Should be electric. And the Cowboys are good this year. So
yeah, I saw the Giants. It's a great game you're seeing.
Should be a great game.
Mike, it's the next best thing to being in Qatar.
Yeah. Well, probably a lot of better things than being in Qatar, but
don't even go down that road, Mike. We want to keep you nice and healthy. We don't want any controversy. We're not stirring any trouble up. Enjoy Dallas. Enjoy tonight's contest, Mike. We'll read all about it in the Winnipeg Free Press. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate the live play by play. If Dan needs a day off or Paul needs a day off, you can step right in there seamlessly.
I used to when I was a little kid, and I'd be playing my Nintendo hockey games. I used to have my tape recorder beside me, guys, and I would do play-by-play of my own video game playing, because I wanted to be the next Kurt Kiel back. Didn't exactly work out that way, but I'm not complaining.
Do you still have the tapes? That's the question. Do you still have the tapes?
My mom probably does. My mom keeps everything in their basement. They're probably in there somewhere for sure.
Mike, who cares about the tapes? Do you have the original Nintendo with Blades of Steel and Duck Hunt?
Love the Blades of Steel game for sure. Blades of Steel was the one where you could – was that the one where you could choose either the skinny player?
No, that was ice hockey.
Okay, that's ice hockey. Yeah. By the way, which one was the one,
sorry, Mike, where the penalty shot was just a standing slap shot.
Right. Blades of Steel had the good fighting. Blades of Steel, all of a sudden, the animation went incredible for the fighting.
Right. So what was your guy? I always loaded up my team with just the big fat guys on the ice because they could hit like nothing else, right?
The Legion of Doom, right?
Yeah, I just went out there and just hit everything. I didn't care about speed or skill. I just wanted to hit everything. So I guess that was why I was kind of a chubby kid myself.
It's a good way to channel some of that anger into positive venues. Mike, thank you. We'll let you get back to covering pregame skate. We'll read all about it in the Free Press. We'll see your tweets. We'll see you later tonight. Thanks, buddy.
See you tonight, guys.
There he goes. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press joining us from downtown Winnipeg. There you go. How's that for some live on location reporting? Big thanks to Mike for doing that. Let's head to our first break. When we come back, much more on the Jets. Dave Minuk's in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. It's a Saturday morning. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Well, that's awkward. I don't see Dave, as he's just appeared magically back on the screen very quickly. And what happened to Minuk? There he is, flying back. You know, God forbid you guys not spend every second of every show just at each other, attached at each other's hip.
That was a quick break.
It was not a quick break. I haven't done anything. The breaks are the same length of time as they were last week and the week before and everything else. You guys just might not be as quick as you are moving back and forth around Casa Minuk there. In any event, welcome
back. I feel we're back to like grade 12 at Kelvin High School, and I used to be late. Jesse Matus, you guys know Jesse, good hockey player, good baseball player. His dad was a good hockey player as well, John Matus, shout out to him. He was a teacher at Laidlaw School in Tuxedo for a long time. Jesse used to pick me up every day for school, and we'd always walk in during the national anthem. And so, with two weeks left...
That's earlier than I expected you to get there.
Yeah, well, two weeks... I actually did really well in... English was one of my best subjects, but... I was good in everything. I'm Mr. Perfect. No, obviously English, I struggled with the sciences. Let's put it that way. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. But so we had something like 57 lates at the end of the year. So they said, if you have three more, you're actually going to fail like high school. So I was like, okay, we got to start going a little bit earlier. But yeah, I just felt like you were my grade 12 English teacher. Forget his name. Stoico, maybe? Anyways, continue.
Thank you, because that was
a hell of a good story.
Even for us, that was quite the tangent. I mean, and you know, this show might as well just
is was that an escapade? Tangents. Are we going to bring that back?
No. The escapade would be you at the grade 12 dance or grade 10 dance or whatever year the dance was at Calvin.
Having my stomach pumped.
Yeah, having your stomach pumped. Exactly right. It wasn't pumped at the dance, for the record. It was pumped in the hospital. But what can I say, boys?
I like to party.
You do.
He does like to party.
He likes to party. Big thanks to Mike McIntyre for joining us on the program. That was some great updates live on location from downtown Winnipeg. Jets in action tonight. Let me ask you guys this. I mean, we talked about it with Mike. This Nikolaj Ehlers news certainly doesn't seem like it's going in the right direction. I wouldn't be surprised if Rick Bowness comes to the podium today or sometime, this coming week and says, Rick, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers has undergone, surgery, for whatever his ailment is, lower body, groin, whatever, exactly the specifics. And he's going to be officially out of the lineup for 4 to 6 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks or however long the recovery from that kind of procedure would be. Do you see the Jets just continuing with status quo? Do you see them just saying, okay, well, if it ain't broke right now, there's no need to fix it. We're 10-4-1.
It is broke, Drew. I mean, there's no question that in terms of injuries, it's broke. But I think you're talking about more about how the Jets keep winning, right? And Dylan DeMello isn't on the ice right now, according to Mike McIntyre. So most likely he's not going to play. So that means either Kyle Capobianco is going to play again tonight against the Pens, right? Or Ville Heinola comes in. But I don't understand how you could trade Drew a prospect defenseman or a veteran defenseman with Dylan DeMello currently, out of the lineup or dealing with an illness or whatever it is. Right, Drew?
So but I wouldn't trade anything.
Well, I think it's waiver pickup. I agree with Mike. Like he mentioned a guy like Tyson Jost. Now Tyson Jost fell out of favor with Avalanche fans. And he's a guy that I mentioned I think he only played 1 year at UND or 2 years at UND.
One year at UND. He was the 10th overall pick. He played one year in the BCHL.
So that's why he took a bit of a different route, even though the BCHL is a great league. A guy like Alex Newhook also played in the BCHL, Travis Zajac, but among others. But I don't think, aside from that, Drew, you're going to see. And again, that's, I think, what you're talking about here. But look, the Jets have guys. Like, the Jets don't have anybody that can replace Nikolaj Ehlers. Like, they just don't. But to me, like, a guy like, Saku Mantalainen and Axel Janssen-Fjällby, they're doing a good job in the bottom six, whether that's on the third line or the fourth line. A guy like Jansen Harkins, Dave, is available to play, significant minutes. Is Jansen Harkins a replacement for Nick Ehlers? No, he's not necessarily a replacement for, Barron or Appleton either. But he's a guy that's an NHL player, and he's proven that he can go down to the NHL, score, and then come back and be an NHL player. So to me, all I see happening is, a potential waiver wire pickup. Aside from that, I don't see any big moves coming. That's just me, though.
Dave, do you agree with Mr. Ginsburg, or could you see the Jets, I don't think there's a possibility they're going to subtract from their current roster, but could you see them dealing a mid-round pick or something for a player that maybe has fallen out of favor?
They're not that desperate, though, Drew. Like, they're 10-4-1, and some of these guys are coming back in a couple weeks. I just don't know why, at this point in the season, you would trade even like a third or fourth round pick.
Well, I mean, I if it adds to your forward depth, if it's somebody who, if you want to get a head start on the trade market. Now, I don't expect this to happen. This would be so out of character for the Winnipeg Jets. But if there's a guy who's in the final year of a contract, who's, playing on a team that's not going anywhere this season already, and there are some teams where it's clear they're not going anywhere, a mid-round selection to maybe bolster, the third or a fourth line, just because you really are getting thin with some of your options. I mean, I don't expect that, Chaz.
Especially Lucius, if Ehlers is out long-term, I agree.
Yeah, I don't expect Chaz Lucius. I don't expect Brad Lambert to really be realistic options for this team, nor should they be.
I believe Lucius is injured right now, if I'm not mistaken, right?
He didn't play last night for the Moose, but a guy like Jeff Mallott would be, Dave, you can speak to it more than me, but Jeff Mallott seems like probably the next guy up from the in terms of a forward from the Moose or Kevin Stenland. But, you can't, I mean, with all due respect to the guys who are sort of populating the Jets' bottom six right now.
Those guys don't move the needle at all.
They don't. They're good. They're performing admirably, but they don't move the needle. And I think at some point in time, the other shoe will drop when it comes mm-hmm. to performance.
Yeah, but I mean, I think ultimately, I think as he said it right, there's no urgency. What is, if you're 10-4-1 and you're at the top of the Central, why are you doing making a trade? I mean, you could maybe find a team that needs to make, I mean, you're not doing it out of desperation, so you don't have to make a trade. You don't have a gun to your head saying, well, you know, if we don't do this, we're going to fall out of, you know, we'll go from like the 6th spot to the 7th spot or the 5 to the 6. You know, you don't, you have that luxury right now of creating a buffer, right? That's what we always talk about early in the season. We're not looking at the, jokingly, we looked at the standings a couple of weeks ago going, oh, this team, the out of town scoreboard. But at the right. same time, it's important to bank these points. And that's what the Jets are doing right now. And they've done a good job of getting wins when they need to and banking points for later on in the season, you know, because inevitably or invariably, you're going to hit some sort of slide. And of course, you don't want it to look like what happened to the Blues where, you know, they lost, you know, what, 7 or 8 in a row. And I think even the Penguins before they beat Minnesota, they've had a bit of a skid of late. So you don't want to go on one of those long slides, obviously. But right now the Jets are kind of in a good place. And you have these guys with that next man up mentality of guys who are hungry for the opportunity. Like Mikey Essiemont, when we talked to him, he has said last year, he said it again this year. The reason he signed in Winnipeg is because he saw an opportunity for himself. Mm-hmm. He saw an opportunity for him to carve a role out with the Winnipeg Jets. And so he didn't sign here because he wanted to play with the Manitoba Moose and, you know, be on a really good farm club. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, that's his goal. Kevin Stenlin, probably the same. Jeff Malott, probably the same. I mean, these guys want an opportunity to be in the NHL. And so I think, quite frankly, again, you could, I would rule out a trade almost entirely. Breaking news has been a trade. But, like, I would say, like, I just don't see it in the Jets' DNA. And I don't see the urgency in order to do so. Like, why are you trading Ville Heinola?
No, you're not.
When, like, you're, but that's my point. So you're not trading Ville Heinola unless some offer is blowing your socks off. You're not getting rid of
right. not, a guy not who Nick Robertson. Nick Robertson's no. a good player, and Frank's a good friend of ours. But like I saw that, and I realized, you know, Frank is just trying to stir the pot a little bit and just kind of see what's out there.
I didn't even see it, to be honest with you.
I mean, Frank Cervelli isn't saying that trade is being bandied about. He's just, it's a theoretical trade. But to me, like, Heinola has such a high upside, especially knowing, I don't care what anybody says, you know, defensemen, especially, I mean, I hate to say it, but smaller defensemen take a little bit longer in terms of, you know, learning how to use their body in front of the net. We talked about that. That's one thing that, you know, Heinola has to work on, his body positioning, the fact that he's not a 210-pound defenseman, right, Dave?
Yeah.
So I agree with you. To me, what changes things, and I think why Drew is bringing this up, is that it turns out that Nikolaj Ehlers is going to be out for another 4 weeks or another 6 weeks or another 8 weeks, whatever, then I think there's more of an urgency, right, Dave, to make a trade. But I agree. You can say whatever you want, but I'd be curious to see, like, give Jeff Malott some opportunity, you know, maybe playing on the third line. Give Jeff Malott an opportunity on the second power play unit, right, Dave?
Yeah.
You know, he's proven that he can score at the college level and at the AHL level. The only way you're going to find out is if you give him a chance at the NHL level. So, yeah, you're talking about, you know, guys like Kevin Stenlin, who are, let's be honest, they're fourth line guys at the NHL level. But, you know, he's been a nice, you know, addition to the Moose. He's been producing. And Dave shares a lot of the highlights. And, you know, he's a big body, but he's got a scoring touch. So to me, over the next like week or so, unless we find out that Ehlers is out long term, I don't see, you know, anything aside from a few waiver wire pickups, maybe before that 3-game road trip. But Ehlers is the big X factor here, Drew. Like, if Ehlers is going to be out long term, then yeah, not only do you have to start thinking about your, you know, moves to make for your forward depth, you have to think about possibly bringing in a top six guy, not a bottom six guy.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you have plenty of sort of towards the bottom of the lineup guys, and mm-hmm. they're doing a good job. I'm not criticizing them for they're performing admirably. If you had said at the beginning of the year that, you know, Axel Janssen, Fialbi and Saku Mantalainen are going to be, you know, holding down the fort, and well, first of all, you would have said, you know, for the most part, who's Axel Janssen, Fialbi, and you would have said who's Saku Mantalainen again? I don't quite remember, but
I could see those guys getting another contract from the Jets, to be honest with you, Drew. That's how good they've been.
Right now, they've been exactly what the Jets needed. They know what their role is, and they're performing their role. But mm-hmm. when you're asking them to do more in that role, if you ever get to that point, when, you know, more of your top six, more of your scorers are out of your lineup, that's when it begins to become dangerous. I mean, look, the Jets were, in my estimation, on Thursday against Anaheim, the Jets were fortunate to come away with 2 points. They did not play particularly well, aside from Connor, Scheifele, and Gagne. I mean, you know, in terms of their forward group, they were the only sort of forward group I thought that was really you know, generating some danger there. I mean, there were times.
Well, Dubois was good too. He what did he draw yeah. like seven penalties or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that? And there the Jets got that full change in when they were in the duck
cycling.
For like yes, full when they were minutes, cycling.
Right? But you're yeah. right, Drew. I mean, that game it was a tie game in the third period. So yeah. even though the Jets, you know, were ahead in the deserve a win-a-meter, you're right. They just barely got by Anaheim in the end.
Right, and the schedule gets harder, and the talent level increases, and teams are not going to, I think teams to this point in the season, and this is their fault, and the Jets don't have to apologize for this or anything. I think the teams had maybe underestimated the Jets a little bit. You know, they may have thought that the Jets would have more growing pains in the transition from Paul Maurice's team to Rick Bowness's team, or maybe they thought they were the same, you know, Paul Maurice team from last year where they were easy to play against. And it was almost, you know, for a while there, a long part of the season there, they were, it was an easy game to play against them. It's not the case anymore. The Jets have, you know, an identity and they know how to win and they know how their game has to look. So teams are going to begin to, I think, treat the Jets with more respect than they probably have been thus far this year. And then it'll be incumbent on the Jets to raise their game another level. I don't know that, you know, without Nikolai Ehlers in that lineup, that they can raise it up sufficiently. Obviously, they're not. I don't expect them to fall apart completely. And I don't expect them to. I'm not advocating for a trade off of the, you know, from the current roster. I just don't think that's smart. There'd be no reason to trade Ville Heinola right now unless you've made the determination that he's not going to play at the NHL level in a sufficient role. And I don't think that's the case at all. But if there's a mid-round pick to be exchanged for a guy who can come in and even bolster you up a little bit more and provide you with a little bit more depth, almost like the Mason Appleton trade deadline trade last year, you know, where they traded effectively nothing to get a guy that they feel is an NHL regular, and Mason Appleton is an NHL regular, it wouldn't shock me to see them try and do something like that in the coming weeks, depending on how long Nikolai Ehlers is out of the lineup for, if he's indeed out of the lineup for another significant chunk of time.
Right, that's the big if. I just don't see a move unless that's the case. Ehlers being out long-term, that's the case. Or just for another month or something like that. I just don't, knowing the Jets' track record and again, it depends what we're talking about here. There's a big difference between a second or third pick and a fifth or sixth round pick.
Yeah.
And who are you getting, right? So there's a lot of, you know, variables here, and this is all subjective, right? But I mean, the Jets have put together a 10-4-1 record with Ehlers missing 13 of the 15 games. And you could say whatever you want and say, like, you know, the Chicago and Montreal victories. Like, I mean, those are teams the Jets have to beat. But you beat Dallas at home. I mean, you almost beat Calgary on the road. You beat
Colorado on the road.
Well, exactly. I'm talking about, you know, more recently. But you're right, Drew. And you know, speaking of that game, that was arguably Mason Appleton's best game of his career. Right. We all know, you know, what happened in that game with Appleton. Right. So, I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, there might be a trade coming if Nick Ehlers is out long term, I think what we've seen, guys, is the Jets depth is pretty good, forward depth. And, you know, on defense, I'm really curious to know if Ville Heinola is playing tonight. And obviously, you know, Mike might have tweeted about it, but it
doesn't seem like he's going
to. If he doesn't play tonight, I'm curious to see if he's going to play on Monday or Wednesday. I don't think you want him in the press box for 2 weeks straight, right? But no. I think what we've seen is that the Jets forward depth has been very impressive this season. And, you know, could you possibly pluck someone off another team and improve your second or third lines? Yes. But I think what has been shown is that the top six, whether that's the Scheifele line, whether that's the Dubois line, they've been good enough offensively, and the Jets defensively. We haven't talked enough about that.
We're going to do that after the break. We're going to talk about the Jets.
There you go. That's the most important thing. If the Jets keep keeping teams, I said keep twice there, but if the Jets, you know, continue to allow 3 goals or less every game, or 2 goals or less every game with Connor Hellebuck's goaltending and the team defense in front of him, I mean, they're going to continue to win these games, guys. Like, the Jets are winning a lot of one-goal games lately. But Rick Bowness and the coaching staff has no problem with that, considering that Ehlers is out, Barron is out, Appleton is out. DeMello looks like he's going to be out again, right? So, look, they're persevering through adversity, and they continue to win games. Even though the schedule has been easier, it's going to start to get a lot harder next week with, you know, Dallas and Carolina. I mean, those are not easy games, but so far, you know, as Dave said, they've been banking those points.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, we know U.S. Thanksgiving is coming up in less than a week, and that's always the benchmark that a lot of people point to. Are you in a playoff spot or are you out of a playoff spot come U.S. Thanksgiving? And it's evident that the Winnipeg Jets are going to be firmly in a playoff spot when Thursday rolls around with three games between now and then. When we come back, more on the Jets, more on tonight's opponent, the Pittsburgh Penguins, touch on the defensive performance and the, you know, the leading the league in goals against this Winnipeg Jets team is something that you would not have thought to have said at the start of the season, that's for sure. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. It's a Saturday morning. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers, too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hi, Ez. A strange question for you. But why are you lying on the ground being crushed by a piano?
Well, Drew, I definitely tried to carry this baby grand piano down the stairs by myself, and somehow I failed miserably.
Right. I'm sorry. That was a silly question on my part. My apologies. Would you like me to call Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage to help you move the piano? They are the most experienced piano moving company in Winnipeg, after all.
Yes, please call Rolly's and hurry. This piano is very, very heavy.
Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage offers stress-free residential moving services while taking great care of your personal belongings, including your piano. At Rolly's, no job is too big or too small. For more information, visit Rolly's.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now here on our YouTube channel, here on all of our social media platforms. Ezzy Ginsberg's in the bottom middle, Dave Minuk's in the top right, still to come on the program. Winnipeg Ice forward Connor Geeky going to join us. The Ice doing battle with Connor Bedard and the Regina Pats in a rematch of Thursday's Ice victory. You can always just say Ice victory. It seems like it goes without saying at this point in time, Mr. Minuk, that's going to be down at the whatever they call it, the ice den. It's
Wayne Fleming.
Wayne Fleming, I call it. It's still Max Bell to me. If you want to go,
it's Max Bell Center, and then it's Wayne Fleming Arena.
Ah, okay.
Wayne, but it used to be. You're right, though, Drew. It used to be. I mean, we've been going there since we were kids, so right. It used to be Max Bell Arena. I believe I have that right. It's Max Bell Center at U of M, and then Wayne Fleming, obviously, very, very respected and famous coach Wayne Fleming.
Yes, exactly right. And it's well-deserved that the rink is named in his honor, of course. In any event, Connor Geeky is going to join us at some point in this hour. Not exactly sure. He's going to get off the ice.
The ice crew, I was talking to our friend Munzee. They're on the ice till 10:30, so hopefully Connor is going to join us somewhere around 20 to 11.
There you go. So as I mentioned before the break, guys, I mean, you know, the defensive performance by the Winnipeg Jets, I think, is probably one of the stories, not just in Winnipeg, but in the entire NHL of this, you know, 15 of the, you know, almost the quarter mark of the season. The defensive performance of the Jets, I think, has to be up there with one of the most surprising developments this season. Of course, I say that, and I'm sure Pittsburgh's going to come in and score 7 goals on them or something tonight. As a result, the Penguins, a high-scoring team. They score a ton, but they also give up a ton. That's who the Jets are facing tonight, of course, in the Penguins. But, you know, for the Jets to be sitting here, granted they played 2 games less than the Boston Bruins, but, you know, the Jets have only given up 35 goals in 15 mm-hmm. games. This is a team that would give up 35 high-danger chances in the course of a week.
Yeah.
You know, so to see what they've done and to see this commitment and, you know, it was last year. If you remember, we had Craig Button on, and we have Craig on all the time, of course. But remember what Craig was saying last year? He's like, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater with this team. This is a coaching issue, is what he said. He said it clearly on our program. He said it on TSN on the big stage, which is, you know, sort of
Drew, Illegal Curve is the big stage.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, where
actually the Winnipeg Ice Fishing Show is literally the only
stage. The big stage. On. Yeah, it's true.
But I mean, to actually hear an analyst, and this is why we love Craig, because he's so honest, an analyst to actually, you know, give a legitimate criticism and not just sort of couch it and try and soften the blow of the criticism doesn't happen very often. But Craig said, look, there's something still that this team is good. They need a better coach. Well, they seem to have got that better coach, and you can almost say that the results are evident in their goals against so far this season.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say, like, let's be realistic though. I mean, it's Connor Hellebuyck, right? I mean, Connor Hellebuyck is the second best goal saved above expected right now in the NHL. And he is returned.
Who's first, though? Do you know who's first, Dave?
I don't. Who is first?
I don't know.
No.
Good. Thanks for interrupting. That was really helpful.
Hold on, give me a second.
I'll look it up.
Okay, yeah. Good. Anyways, so I was going to say maybe the Bruins, but I'm not sure. Who knows? Anyways, point is that I just think like Connor Hellebuyck has returned to form. And I think that the Jets have obviously decreased the number of high danger chances they're giving up. And they've had a renewed commitment to defense at times throughout the course of the season. And look, it's not going to be, Carter Hart, who, by the way, as he would say, is my, is it actually Carter Hart?
I think Dylan's right. Dylan might be right in saying Carter Hart, because he's off to a great start this season.
Yeah, Carter Hart is the one who I always bank on Philly, because I'm such a big Carter Hart backer. But
I want to say Sam Montembeau is up there as well from Montreal.
Oh, interesting. Anyways, the point is let's keep this to a Jets segment in the Jets defense. Yeah. But the reality is, look, the number one reason why the Jets are where they are is Connor Hellebuyck. There's no illusion to that. And David Rittich obviously has been good in his the last couple of games. So the Jets goaltending being solid is exactly the reason why the Jets are where they are. I think the team's commitment to defense has been renewed, and there's no question about it. I mean, I when I was looking up for my pregame report in the Ducks Jets game a couple of days ago, I was shocked to see that I knew the Jets hadn't been giving up a lot of goals, but to see them first in the NHL, and at the time, I think Boston was second, and the Jets had given up. I mean, Boston had played one or two more games. But regardless, like the Jets in the top 5 of goals against is significant for this club. And, you know, they're not scoring a ton, right? I mean, part of that, conversely, has been the give up of the goals. They're not in the top, I think they're 21st or something like that in goals for. And a lot of that obviously has to do with Nikolaj Ehlers only playing 2 games. Kyle Connor, obviously, up until last game, only having the 2 goals before obviously erupting for the hat trick. So they haven't scored a ton, but they're obviously not giving up a ton. And what happens right now? What would you rather do? Would you rather see a Jets team that's scoring a ton, giving up a ton, and their record reflects that? Or are Jets fans, I suspect, happier to see a team, you know, Kyle Connor not hitting 50 goals isn't going to impact the Jets if the team finishes, you know, top 1, 2, or 3 in the Central Division. I think everybody's going to be happy. People would be much happier to see Connor Hellebuyck win a Vezina than to see Kyle Connor win a Rocket Richard.
I've got it up here from moneypuck.com. So Carter Hart is 1.
Yeah.
Connor Hellebuyck's 2. And then you've got Jake Ottinger 3, Ilya Sorokin 4, Linus Allmark 5. Our friend Karel Vemelka of the Coyotes is 6. I don't know what I was talking with Montembeau. He's not up there. Jake Allen is in the top 10. Maybe it's just because Montembeau was so good. Sorry, Jake Allen's actually 14. So I don't know what I'm talking about here. Marty Jones is in the top 10 for Seattle. But the point is, Dave, Carter Hart, first of all, is having an amazing season thus far, but Connor Hellebuyck is exactly where he was for, you know, those 5 or 6 years where he was either winning the Vezina Trophy or he was a Vezina Trophy finalist. So, yes, Connor Hellebuyck deserves a lot of the credit, but you're absolutely right, guys. Like, the shots against are down, the high danger chances are down, the possession numbers are better, the expected goals, it's like night and day, you know, with Rick Bonus, Scott Arneal, you know, Brad Lauer, Marty Johnson behind the bench. So yeah, Drew, you know, you're right. Coaching has played a huge difference, but again, the commitment to team defense is a huge cliche that, you know, we hear, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year, right? But I mean, it's noticeable. The Jets are a better team defensively as a whole. And, you know, you got to give guys like Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois, the veteran players on this team are playing better defensively. Like, it's noticeable. You even saw just something subtle, like the last game against the Ducks, like Mark Scheifele, I think it was, you know, Morrissey and Scheifele, you know, Morrissey moved in and then Scheifele, I can't remember even what period it was, guys. My kids, again, were homesick, so everything is like just melding into one. But, you know, it was Scheifele coming back to cover for Morrissey. I just noticed one of those little things. It was a nothing play, but it's just like we've seen that, like whether it's Scheifele on the back check with the back pressure or just, you know, just looking better defensively. And again, I'm not saying that he's Guy Carboneau out there. I'm just saying that, you know, he has been much better defensively. And when your top players like Scheifele and Dubois and Connor are showing more of a commitment to team defense, it obviously permeates through the rest of the team, right? I know you like that word, Drew, permeate. So
I do like that word. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, the Jets are just much better defensively, and coaching is part of it. But it's also the players, guys. Like, the players are the ones that go out there and they compete every night or every second or third night for the Jets. There's been a few days between games. But, I mean, there's no doubt that this is just a harder team to play against, and they're better defensively, period. And even if Hellebuck deserves a lot of credit for, you know, some nights standing on his head, like he did against the LA Kings, for example,
right?
He made 16 or 17 saves in the first period. I mean, that's the big difference between this year and last year. Hellebuck was good, but not great. This year, he's been excellent, like we've been used to.
Well, you know, you talk about that. I mean, you want to, you know, you can see it. Look at the shots against per game played. So there's no question that there was that, you know, that road trip where the Jets were fortunate to get with the 5 out of 6 points. And we've talked about that road trip ad nauseum. Everyone knows that the Jets, you know, only got that because Connor Hellebuck was otherworldly. But just, you know, most games in terms of the fewest shots against, Jets are in the top 10. It's just it's small details that you know, Connor Hellebuck is performing, you know, tremendously, like we've come to expect from Connor Hellebuck. But at the same time, I think the players in front of him are making it a lot easier on him, Dave, than certainly last year and even probably a couple of years before that. You know, the last few years of the Maurice era were just such a tire fire defensively that Connor Hellebuck had to be otherworldly just for the Jets to keep their head above water. This year, with the exception of that one road trip, Connor Hellebuck has had to be very good, but the team in front of him is also playing so much better, as evidenced in a lot of different stats. And I know that, you know, those who subscribe to an analytic bent, and I respect their opinions, would say that the Jets are not as good as their record indicates. And I think they're probably right. But at the same time, you never need to apologize for having the best player on the ice. And oftentimes the best player on the ice has been Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you think we've repeated that line, Drew, through the last 5 years of the show?
It seems like there's a segment of the population, and I'm not saying, you know,
not our viewers. Come on,
no, but there seems to be a segment of the population that want, and it's not specific to Winnipeg, I think, that wants teams to apologize for having a great goaltender. So it's not a Winnipeg thing, but it seems like, oh, they're only as good as their goaltender. Well, yeah.
Yeah, because the goaltender is the most important position in hockey. I mean, every position is important. I mean, it's not like you can't just win with the best goalie. I mean, you need to have good players as well. But you're right, Drew. I mean, sometimes, we just gave two examples, right? The LA game and the Vegas game. The Vegas game, the Jets had no point. I'm talking about, obviously, the game a couple of weeks ago where the Jets took it to overtime. Jack Eichel scored the goal, all that, right? So you can point to that road trip where the Jets got 5 of 6 points. If not for Hellebuck, the Jets might only get 2 of 6 points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So, I mean, sometimes hockey is like that. Yes, it's a team game, but every year come playoffs, and a couple of years ago it was Carey Price with Montreal taking them to the final against Dallas. Dallas. Tampa Bay. Dallas got to the semis. sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Last year, it was Jake Oettinger for the Dallas Stars. I mean, Jake Oettinger almost got them. He was. We just mentioned he's third in goals saved above expected. A stat, again, for those who aren't familiar, that's a stat that probably tells you a little bit more than save percentage. Save percentage is still important, but it tells you how many goals above you were supposed to save. And Hellebuck, I believe, was at 11, Dave, if I'm not mistaken. Carter Hart's around 14. I mean, I'm not exact, but it's just a stat that tells you how good a goalie is, really. And Connor Hellebuck is second in the NHL. For those who don't know, because some people watching might not know that stat, even though I imagine our educated viewers, 99% of them know that stat. But sometimes you have to just say, yeah, Connor Hellebuck is one of the best goalies in the league. And sometimes he alone can get us points.
Yeah. And I just was going to finish the thought was with respect to Hellebuck. To me, it's funny why that last game, he had two big milestones. He made his 11,000th save and he faced his 12,000th shot. I mean, no goaltender in the NHL since Connor Hellebuck became a starter in 2015-16 has faced more rubber than Connor Hellebuck. So there's no question that he is the driver of this team. And we've talked about this, you know, for years and years and years. And especially now that he is, you know, again, like as he said, he was good last year. He just wasn't exceptional. He is exceptional again this year. And, you know, look, he had a new family and it was a new sort of environment for Connor Hellebuck. And now he's, you know, used to being a dad, and now he's got back to being.
Remember when Drew first had Aaron? I mean, he was a really mediocre host that year. It wasn't until Sam was born that he finally got back to that greatness.
But yeah, so that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Well, I just think
the nicest compliment you've ever paid me.
I just think that you've just got a situation where Connor Hellebuck is returned to what you expect of him, and so. Ultimately, Drew, at the end of the day, you aren't going to apologize. And some folks are saying, you know, should Rittich get in? Well, he's going to because of the nature of the schedule, because of the way the schedule looked. You could afford to look. Connor Hellebuck didn't. He skipped the practice, I think, on Tuesday, and then he was a full participant on Wednesday. And the reason for that is because they have the luxury of time right now. And that's what they're doing. And I think the Jets are being smart about it. They're affording themselves this opportunity to give Hellebuck, you know, time just one-on-one with Wade Flaherty. He doesn't need to face shots in practice 2 days in a row. He knows what he's doing. He's in the zone. And because of that, you know, that, I mean, look, we all know anybody who's played hockey, when your goaltender is playing the way Connor Hellebuck is playing, that gives the team all sorts of confidence. But to your point, Drew, that is one thing the Jets have done a better job of trying to be better defensively as a collective group. And we're seeing that buy-in. And again, we said, what did we say early in the season? It's five games in. We're not going to have any idea as to what this Jets team really looks like. 15, 20 games in, you're going to see what that level of buy-in is. And I think we're starting to see it.
Well, because the proof is in the pudding. The success and the buy-in comes easily when the success is evident, and the success has been evident so far this year. So it's easy for a guy to say, yes, I'm going to skate back an extra three strides and hustle back. Look, it's not been clean all the time. By far, there's been plenty of games where the zone exits have been rough and they've struggled, and the turnovers. I mean, there were a ton of turnovers in that Anaheim game. Frankly, if the Jets had been playing almost anybody other than Anaheim, they probably don't win on Thursday.
Well, Anaheim's a bad team.
What's my point? I mean, Anaheim's got
that defense.
It's not good. And the Jets, you
know, John Gibson stood on his head. I mean, the only reason that game was close, I realized the Jets weren't fantastic. But Gibson made some fantastic saves, and obviously, you know, that included on Connor, even though he got the hat trick, right? But I agree with you, Drew. And you know, you look at the Seattle game; that wasn't a beauty. Second game of a back to back, but the Jets pulled that out.
Right? But they pull it out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what matters at this point. When you consider all of the adversity they've faced early, namely Nikolaj Ehlers being out of the lineup for 13 of 15 games, you're going to take that 10-4-1 record. So, yes, you could say that, you know, the Jets, you know, have three or four more points than they really should. But, I mean, the points are there. They have them. And that's the most important thing. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens on this next road trip because, I mean, we know that you've got Carolina at home, but then you don't have the easiest road trip coming up against the Central, right? Minnesota, Dallas, Wednesday, Friday, and then you've got Chicago. I, by the way, don't see David Rittich getting into the net before the game against Chicago because that's something – in addition to the schedule getting more busy, the Jets don't have a back-to-back until the second week of December, December 8th and 9th, I believe, against St. Louis and Chicago. So, I mean, Hellebuck is going to get the majority of the starts, but I would probably look at that Chicago game as the next game for Rittich.
you know, I was wondering, you know, you're probably right, Ezzy. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to necessarily play him. I was wondering if they might want to play him. That Wednesday game is sort of a weird game this coming Wednesday because it's the day before Thanksgiving. So everyone, a lot of people's attention maybe in the Minnesota area might
your
be
attention
diverted
to detail?
Elsewhere. Well, you know, I thought maybe you might see him on Wednesday. But you're very well, you know, I don't have any expectations.
But with all the rest and no back-to-backs over the next couple of weeks, but you're right. I mean, the point is you're going to see Hellebuck kind of 4 out of every 5 games type of thing.
Of course, because Connor Hellebuck is, you know, the linchpin for this team's success largely. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you're injured on the back end. It's one thing if Nikolai Ehlers is out of your lineup, and that's never a good thing. But if Connor Hellebuck's out of your lineup, well, then, I mean, with all due respect to David Reddit and anybody else that tries to fill Hellebuck's pads, they're just not going to be able to do it. That's how important Connor Hellebuck is. Everybody knows that. And that's, again, you know, you take Connor McDavid off the Edmonton Oilers, they're not going to be as good. You take Austin Matthews off the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're not going to be as good. You take Nikolai Ehlers off the Jets, they're not going to be as good. You take Connor Hellebuck out of the Jets, then they're really in trouble.
You take Dmitry Kulikov off the Ducks, they're not as good.
I'm not sure that that's necessarily the same point I was going for, but I appreciate it nonetheless. You look at Pittsburgh tonight. I mean, Pittsburgh is a team, you know, 62 goals for. Like I said earlier, this is a team that scores a lot of goals, but they give up a ton of goals.
Yes.
You know, so you have to rely on your defensive awareness, especially against a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins, because if that is not laser focus, Dave, the Penguins are going to take advantage of you. You know, Sidney Crosby is still an otherworldly hockey player, and Evgeny Malkin is still an otherworldly hockey player. But if the Jets are sufficiently tight in their systems, particularly in their own zone, the Penguins give a lot of it back in their D zone. The Penguins don't have that structure that the Jets at least have been demonstrating so far this year, Dave.
No, I mean, look, I mentioned earlier, the Penguins have been struggling, right? They had a bit of a streak. And so
3-5-2 in their last 10.
Right. And Sidney Crosby rattled off 4 against Minnesota. So good for Sid the Kid. I tweeted this morning saying, what a luxury for folks in Winnipeg to see the 2005 first overall pick if you're going to the Jets game, or the presumptive first overall pick in the 2023 draft, Connor Bedard, if you go to the ice game. So quite a luxury for hockey fans here in the city to be able to see two otherworldly talents, because make no mistake of it, you know, that's kind of why we always look forward to seeing to going to the Penguins games, because, you know, Sidney Crosby is always such a joy to watch play hockey, because he's just still so talented and such an elite talent. And it's crazy to think his draft year was already 17 years ago. I mean, it's just amazing how quick the time flies.
I was talking to somebody. I was talking to somebody yesterday. We were talking about going to see Connor Bedard, and because obviously Connor Bedard is selling. I mean, first of all, the Winnipeg Ice are selling tickets because they're an unbelievable hockey team. Then you add in Connor Bedard. I mean, you guys saw the goal, and I'm sure everyone in the chat saw the goal he scored. You know, what was it, 8 seconds into the game on Thursday night? Like that. Yeah. I mean, it was just wild. And I remember when I lived.
Well, he's got 40 points in 23 games or something. Like, it's ridiculous.
When I lived in Ottawa, that was when Sidney Crosby's draft year. And I remember going over to Gatineau to watch him play the Gatineau team, or the Olympique. Did I get that right, Ezzy? Do you remember? You know, I think they're the Olympique. I remember going to see him play, and he had 5 points the first 30 minutes of the game, maybe first 25 minutes of the game. Sidney Crosby had 5 points or something. It was watching a superlative talent. And that's, you know, what the and that's what you're seeing when you watch. So it's interesting, you know, Connor Bedard, a superlative talent. The Ice have plenty of wonderfully talented players, but, you know, as a team, they're probably better than the Pats are. But Connor Bedard on his own is worth the price of admission. That's going to be a fun game tonight. And I think he comes back again in December, if I'm not mistaken. I sort of got it circled on our internal calendar saying, okay, honey, I might be heading out that night to see Connor Bedard and see the Ice. You know, a team like the Ice, their record being what it is, you should go and see that. That is incredible. Yeah. I don't care about how much more talented they are. Teams usually have a letdown, but that team just keeps, they're a machine.
Let's give a shout out to Matthew Savoy here, who had 3 goals, hat trick, and 6 points, right? Like, what a great pick that's looking like for the Buffalo Sabres, right? And yeah. We mentioned earlier, Connor Geeky is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so, hopefully after the ice practice at, not sure if they're at Wayne Fleming Arena or they sometimes practice at the rink, close to Fort White out there. So, but the point is that, you know, Geeky first round pick, Savoy. I mean, look, we could Owen Peterson, Connor McLennan, Zach Benson is supposed to be a top 10 pick in the next draft. He might go higher than that. Like the ice are absolutely, I mean, I didn't mention Carson Lambos, Ben Zlotti. Like the ice are, they're the best. I don't even think it's a question right now if the ice are the best team in the WHL, right? The question is just, are they the best team in the country? And the Seattle Thunderbirds are really good. That's the, what I've been hearing to, you know, talking to people who know more about the WHL than I do. That's the team that a lot of people say, like, Seattle's going to be this year's Edmonton that gives the ice, probably the toughest test in the playoffs. But I don't know, guys, like this ice team, I mean, the fact that, and we'll hopefully ask Connor Geeky about this, you know, you start the season with all of those games on the road, 13 or 14, I believe, and they won all of them almost, right? Except for one. So, I mean, this ice team, I mean, it's just a well-oiled machine. Like, I think this team knows that they were pretty good last year. No, they were very good last year, and they went far. But this year, I mean, they want to win that WHL championship, and they want to win that Memorial Cup, because you're going to lose a lot of players this year, right? Like,
well, that's
just you're going to lose Connor McLennan. You're going to lose Carson Lambos. You know, Geeky and Savoy are eligible to play again next year. But you know what I mean? This is the year. I mean, they're loaded up, and they want that WHL championship and Memorial Cup.
It's a great sports night here in Winnipeg. I mean, you know, with those two games taking place here in Winnipeg at the downtown rink, and again at Wayne Fleming Arena, the Ice, the Jets, the Moose are on the road, as Dave will touch on after the break with his Minook Moose Minute. But, you know, it's a really interesting time. I mean, you go back to the Jets again, and I know I circle back, and you look at the Penguins tonight and then Carolina. You know, Carolina is still a well-oiled machine. Carolina is still they're another one of those tremendous hockey teams, because they do everything, they seem to do everything so well. That's, you know, what Carolina does. They're not the flashiest team,
including selling 30,000 plus tickets to their outdoor game.
Well, there you go. That's terrific. I mean, they're 10-5-2 so far this year. You know, exactly what you sort of expect Carolina to be. I don't trust their goaltending to get them through to the next level. I do think that's always where they're going to run into a roadblock come playoff time. But in terms of a regular season matchup, they're a very difficult regular season matchup, Dave, because they know how to win in those first 82 games of the year. And so, you know, that's, you know, one of those games where the Jets seem to have had trouble with them in past, where it's an Eastern Conference team. It comes into Winnipeg on a Monday night, in this case, not necessarily the same buzz as a Sidney Crosby on a Saturday night. And the Jets have had a history of sort of letting their guard down in that game, maybe looking ahead to the divisional games that you have later in the week in Minnesota and Dallas and Chicago.
Yeah, but I mean, I think what we knew about this Jets club from years past has to be thrown out the window a little bit.
That's
right?
Fair.
Because I think the reality now is that this is now Rick Bonus has put his stamp all over this Jets team. And so, you know, and I thought Rick Bonus had some interesting comments about, you know, he was asked about, maybe it was Anaheim, he was asked about one of the teams. He said, look, that happened, you know, at the beginning of the season. We're basically throwing that out. We're looking at what's the, like, five game blocks here, because they don't want to say, okay, well, this team has done X, but that's based on the totality of the year. And, you know, there's reasons for that, right? Like, if a team had a rash of injuries to start the year, you really don't want to look at that and say, well, this is what they look like, because really it's maybe based on their little snapshot. So, you know, it to me, I think that a lot of the conventional wisdom of what we think about a Winnipeg Jets hockey club is thrown out the window now because of the way Rick Bonus is putting his stamp on this team and the way he is, and Scott O'Neill, and as he said, all the coaching staff has really tried to change things up with this Jets club. And so I do think that the concern is less, because also remember, the Jets aren't the team that had the Jets' arrogance has kind of been washed away. They can't afford to be an arrogant team anymore. That's and good. I think that for many years they had we went to the Western Conference Finals and we are who we are. And that kind of bravado is gone. And I think now you look at a Jets club that, I mean, teams are playing their backups against you, right? I mean, you're the team that's getting the backup netminders. You're not getting the number one netminder. Mm-hmm. And now you're making those teams pay, and that's good for you. But the reality is, you're not, I'm not saying you're the free space on a bingo card, but you might not be the formidable opponent that you thought you were and that other teams thought you were. And for a Jets club that I've said this, without having that sort of responsibility thrust upon them from, you know, sources outside, I think they've benefited as a result. I think the lack of expectation on this team, to quote Nate Schmidt, is perfect. But I think the reality for the Jets is, the reality of that statement is that this is not what you can't expect what was in the past from last year to carry over for this year. I think that there is even though ironically they've run it back, it's largely the same team. I do think the coaching staff has tried to change the philosophy of the way this team approaches games and approaches their opponents. So we shall see looking ahead, but of course it's hard to look ahead when you still got to focus on the opponent for tonight. And like we talked about, I mean, it's still a Penguins team that is formidable. They can score a lot of goals. So the Jets will be in tough to play that collective team defense to try and minimize guys like Sidney Crosby and the like.
Absolutely right. That game will be shortly after 6 p.m. tonight, the Illegal Curve post-game show, right around 8:45, somewhere between 8:45 and 9 o'clock back here on our YouTube channel. We take our final break of the morning. When we come back at some point in this segment, Connor Geeky of the Winnipeg Ice is going to jump on with us. More on the Jets. Dave will update us on the Moose collapse last night in Texas. Is it going to be an ugly Minook Moose minute? Well, I mean, Dave will be handsome, but the recap might be a little bit ugly as to the Moose performance. Connor Geeky still to come. Don't go anywhere. Saturday morning, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platform. We are back. Bottom of hour number two. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minook, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Saturday morning. A reminder, of course, the Illegal Curve post-game show between 8:45 and 9 o'clock tonight. I'm going to leave the show in the good hands of the two capable gentlemen joining me this morning.
Exactly the case, Drew. We punted you.
I did not realize that I've been dismissed from my position. In that case, it hurts a little bit more of a body blow. But nonetheless, I will try and carry on. I have some family obligations. I have a wedding to attend to tonight. Congratulations to Kevin and Julie, of course. But Dave and Ezzy will be here to guide this good ship lollipop throughout tonight's post-game show. I hope you guys will have lollipops for people as well, given that I've just called it the good ship lollipop.
I actually do have a lollipop in the kitchen. I've got it from Turkison's. Yeah, I've got a lot of old timey. They're suckers more than lollipops, but
you know what I do with lollipops too much though. I crunch into it. I bite into it. Like
yeah, right, you'd be a biter.
I'm not like a guy. Like some people like to suck on them for like 10, 15, 20 minutes. I just like to eat mine right away.
Boy, let's just get off this conversation immediately before this goes down.
True, you were the one that suggested that we're going to give out lollipops tonight.
I regretted it immediately.
Don't bring up lollipops and then not expect me to address said lollipops. You could just put in the lollipop song right now.
I really did regret it as soon as the words left my mouth.
Nate Schmidt was going to pick that lollipop song. He was between Mambo Number 5 and I'm joking, obviously.
We should have picked the lollipop song. That would have been a good one.
Like, I still maintain Taking Care of Business by Backman Turner Overdrive would have been a great goal song.
There's plenty. I think they should also change them up. You know, maybe like halfway through the year, they should change them again just to sort of add another little dimension. It's just a little fun thing. You know, not that you get bored of hearing a goal song ever necessarily, but it's always a little bit, I think, you know, maybe give them a couple options. Maybe their taste in music change. Maybe they discover, you know, a great klezmer artist or something, and you know, halfway through the season that they want to change their song to.
Drew, did you get Taylor Swift tickets, by the way?
You know, I did. And then I sold them on the black market. No, I didn't get Taylor Swift tickets. I understand that it was a catastrophe. And maybe one company having a monopoly on all ticket sales isn't good for the consumer. Just going to make the connection between A and B there. Maybe something needs to be done about that.
Concerts are ridiculous now. Like, and this isn't to do with Taylor Swift specifically. I'm just saying, like, I remember when a concert, like, the expensive concerts like the Eagles we went to 10 years ago. I think we took Richie Pollock to the Eagles because I had an extra ticket. I was trying to find a female friend, but I couldn't find one, so I took Richie. The Eagles was like $250 a ticket. Like I'm not talking about obviously the most recent time. I'm talking about like...
And it was $50 a ticket and $200 in fees.
No, but remember when the tickets for Rage Against the Machine came out? Like, it's crazy. Like, $250 a ticket? That's, I don't know, it's expensive. I mean,
I was trying to get someone to take me to Offspring last night for free.
And how'd that work out for you?
I was at home last night.
You're pretty fly for a white guy, Dave.
Thank you.
Speaking of, I got no segue there. Dave, start talking about the Manitoba.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minook Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Wow, the Minook Moose Minute. Well, let me tell you, the Minook Moose Minute was, there's a lot to talk about based on last night's game in Texas, kicking off five on the road for the Manitoba Moose, who obviously, as folks know, were sans Ville Heinola, who got recalled. They are also without Chaz Lucius and Declan Chisholm. Declan was knocked out after the first period of the last game on Sunday here in Winnipeg, and he practiced with the team. He's on the trip, but he didn't play, dealing with a bump, minor bump, as is Chaz Lucius, which is the reason why he didn't play. But the Moose got off to a good start in the sense that they scored. Kevin Stenlin got the goal, first goal of the game on the first shot, but that was probably the only good thing because the Moose didn't really get many more shots in the first period. And if it wasn't for Arvid Holm, they would have been lost that game early in that first, because he saved 16 shots that he faced, all 16 shots, sorry, that he faced in the first period. But the Moose were taking penalties and penalty trouble. We've talked about it with the coaching staff, has been kind of the bugaboo of the Manitoba Moose so far. And they don't have David Gustafson as kind of their safety blanket to really ensure that their PK is working optimally. So they've got to stay away from taking too many penalties. But unfortunately for them, they still are. They've got a very young team right now with the Manitoba Moose. Looked not so good when the first period was ended, but they were still up by one. Then Texas started rolling. Texas scored two goals in the second period. Take a 2-1 lead, Leon Gavanke. They're already down, obviously, in terms of defense. Then he took a high stick. He left the game, came back, scored the game-tying goal. So he tied it 2-2 on the power play. Nice goal by him. And you're thinking, okay, well, they've survived. Holm has played well in the first two periods, but they don't deserve to be in this game. It's shocked that they're tied. Then 2 minutes later, they start the third period, and I'm like, okay, what team are we going to get? Well, apparently they woke up. So I don't know what the coaching staff said to them in the intermission, but it worked to start in the third period because Jeff Mellott scored his fourth and fifth goals. His fifth goal is spectacular. Beautiful individual effort from taking it from the boards, power forward, 6'5", using all of his size and strength to work himself to the front of the Texas net and give the Moose a 4-2 lead. But it wasn't to last. The Moose were taking some sloppy penalties. Suddenly it's 4-3. Then Alex Limoges gets a 5-3 empty net goal. You're like, okay, well, this game's over. But it isn't, because again, penalty trouble.
The never say die Texas Stars, right, Dave?
Well, again, penalty trouble by the Moose. Evan Poli took an inadvertent. He was pissed. He went to slam his stick against the glass. Ended up hitting the linesman by accident, who he didn't see. And so he got hoofed from the game. And then suddenly a 5-3 game became 5-4 with the Texas net empty. And then 5-4 became 5-all with 10 seconds to go. I think it was 9 seconds to go in the third period. And then sure enough, what would it be? That would be the death knell of the Moose. They take a penalty in overtime. So Texas has a man advantage and they scored to make it a 6-5 win for Texas. Texas deserved to win because the Moose didn't play particularly well, except for in the third period. And you really need to play better collectively. Again, young group of Manitoba Moose. So not the best effort. Brad Lambert slowly but surely getting people asking about Brad Lambert. Remember, he missed the two weekends of games. He only played last weekend's games against Calgary, but he missed the previous two series for the Manitoba Moose. So Lambert is I would say, iffy in terms of people say recall. You got to let him marinate. If any recalls are happening, guys, in order, it's going to be Mellott, Stenlund, and Reichel. Those are your three guys from forward who are going to get recalled up to the Jets. It's not going to be Brad Lambert. It's not going to be Chaz Lucius. Those guys are fine where they are. Like I said,
they're Lucius the young stars. You got to let those guys continue. Well, to stay in the NHL.
Let's put it this way: you're not calling these guys up when, especially when they're talked about going to the World Juniors in December and stuff like that, right? So for me, the reality is that again, Lucius is dealing with a bump and a bruise, and Lambert just getting back from illness. So you want to let him get some time and energy back into him, you know, into his game again. And look, he made another worldly move. Took the puck in the neutral zone with speed, fainted out the defenseman and then created an opportunity for himself. Didn't bury it, but like, that's what you want to see from Brad Lambert, getting that comfort in the smaller rink. He actually said how he prefers the smaller rink. He talked about it in one of the availabilities this week with the Moose. So these guys are getting comfortable. There's no need to rush them. I mean, again, like I said, like we talked about this, Ezzie, how many times when Josh Morrissey was a bust because he was, you know, still playing in the AHL. I'm like, guys, like, chill. Like, this guy will eventually get there. And when he gets there, he'll be very good.
And that's not to say, Dave, that, sorry, I was just going to say, that's not to say that you know, Brad Lambert or Chaz Lucas won't be called up. I just think right now, early in the season, with how the Jets have played and the fact that, like you said, you know, Lucas was banged up a little bit and Brad Lambert's dealing with an illness, you know, whether that's a virus, whatever that is, flu, I'm not sure. I'm assuming, you know, I shouldn't assume that he got a flu shot, but regardless, he's going to be back soon. I would expect a veteran to be
have
called
you,
up.
Have like you said. Had your flu shot, Ezzy?
And hold I on, have, we got to get Ezzy, what happened to you? Just went out, but we got to give T. Konopoli. I know T. Konopoli was happy that Tyrell Bauer was in the lineup. He's a big boy, young, you know, right side defenseman for the Manitoba Moose, obviously a Jets prospect. So Tyrell Bauer, and he was mixing it up. I thought T. Konopoli must have loved that because there were a lot of shenanigans in yesterday's game. And so a lot of after the whistle. Let me tell you, it's not just a developmental league for players. It's also a developmental league for the refs because they had a tough time in last night's game. And I had a tough time watching it because Texas has one of the worst cameras I've ever watched the game. They're in, they're out, they're in, they're out. It gives you motion sickness trying to watch that game on AHL TV. But regardless, the fact is that the Moose, again, young team, learning what to do at the pro level. And one of the things they're going to have to do better is limit their penalties.
Let me ask you, Dave, what did the defense for the Moose look like last night without Ville Heinola? Was it, I mean, obviously the disappointing.
Without Declan Chisholm as well.
Of course, was it glaringly apparent, you know, that they were down, you know, many of their regulars?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like they had an admirable, I really like 2019 second rounder Simon Lundmark. I think he's a right side guy. He's got a quiet game, almost scored his first of the year last night with a shot that went off the crossbar. He's got a kind of a quiet confidence, almost Dylan DeMello like. From my perspective with Simon Lundmark. So I like his game. And I think the one thing that we're seeing, and we saw it actually with Ville Heinola in the last game on Sunday when Declan Chisholm went down, was the fact that sometimes guys thrive with the opportunity. And Leon Gavanke is one guy who I think is probably going to thrive with the opportunity of additional minutes. Of course, if he didn't lose about 10 getting, you know, I guess stitched up in the Moose dressing room yesterday. So yeah, I think that there's opportunity. I think guys like Ashton Sautner Dean Stewart from Portage La Prairie, those guys are getting more opportunity to play bigger minutes and bigger roles. And obviously with Moose captain Jimmy Olney out still probably till Christmas from his, you know, summertime training camp or training injury, you've got other guys who have to step up and play. And so it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a guy like Tyrell Bauer, who, you know, was playing junior hockey last year, to play maybe some more regular minutes. And we'll see if guys can step up and seize the opportunity that's ahead of them right now.
It'll be interesting. And then the back in action tonight against the Stars, it seems as though that's their pattern though. They lose the first one and then they win the second one. They've been doing that a lot recently. So obviously you would hope that the bit of a sour taste in their mouth and look for redemption after the way that they really just sort of collapsed a winnable game that they didn't really necessarily deserve to be in the position to win. And they fell by the wayside in the last few minutes of last night's contest. Dave Am will have coverage, of course, of the Moose and the Stars on the website, illegalcurve.com, all throughout tonight. And of course we have in-depth coverage, as you've come to expect, of both the Jets and the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Winnipeg Ice and the Regina Pats. Connor Geeky of the Winnipeg Ice set to join us coming up here momentarily. Talk to him. It'll be great catching up with him. Talk about that tremendous team that they have going on there and their success. And I always wonder, you know, how that success does it begin to feel like a burden when you win that many games in a row? I don't think it does. I think it probably you keep the good times going. But it'll be interesting to hear from a younger person's perspective, how that feels having all that success and, you know, that the snowball effect thereof. Wanted to make mention, bad news for Eric Comrie of the Buffalo Sabres. Of course, people still have a soft spot in their heart for the former Winnipeg Jets goalie here. He's going to be out of the lineup for the next multiple weeks. I believe a lower body injury is what he suffered. So he's going to be out of the Sabres lineup for the next couple weeks. And here we have joining us on the program now from the Winnipeg Ice, Connor Geeky is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Connor, good morning. Thanks so much for doing this. How are things?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing really well. Fine and dandy. We appreciate you joining us on this Saturday morning. Obviously, a big game coming up later tonight against the Regina Pats. And Connor, I was just saying to the guys, I wanted to ask you, you know, 19-1. I mean, you know, it's an incredible mark, and I'm sure you've been asked about it over and over again. But when you have that record and you've won 10 in a row, more than 10 in a row, 14 in a row, does it begin to, like, how do you sort of handle that kind of success over and over and over again and not let maybe bad habits creep in to the team's game?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's obviously it's a little different, right? Because, you know, not too many times you get to win 14 games in a row. I think it's something pretty special. But I think it's, you know, it's a good thing, right? We stay pretty close to the system when it comes down to things. You know, we make sure we're working hard and we're always doing the right thing. But I think for the most part, the best thing about our team is that, you know, whether we're down, you know, we're not out. I think, you know, we have a lot of trust in our depth and our guys. You know, that we're going to score and we're going to, you know, find a way to kind of pull through for a win.
Connor, you guys are obviously back home now. Big win over Regina. Another game against the Pats coming up tonight. But we got to go back to the road trip. I don't know if you want to go back to the road trip because I'm sure you're happy to be in our beautiful province again. But, I mean, what was that like? Because obviously you guys are used to going on road trips and being on the road. But I imagine most of the guys on the team have never been on a road trip that long. So just what was that like? Like, I'm sure that you guys did a lot of bonding and you guys had a great time, but just what was that like? Because that was so much longer than your typical road trip.
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy. I think, you know, you got to know a lot of the guys, you know, inside and out. I think, you know, the cool thing was just, you know, how kind of everything went about, right? You know, going on a road trip like that and being able to win every game, except for one. I think that was pretty cool for our team. But, you know, let's say the bus rides were long. You know, you grow some hatred through some NHL games, through some guys, or, you know, where they're playing on the phone or cards or whatever it is. I think, again, you grow a lot of bonds, and I think it's just a cool experience for those young guys. So, when it comes down to it, you know, maybe next year and 2 years from now, and they have to do the U.S. road trip, or, you know, maybe a trip to Brandon isn't so long, or a trip to PA, I think it just shortens everything up a little bit.
You know, Connor, what's it like having the entire city or the entire town of Strathclair behind you when you have, you know, a very small population? I think it's about 700 people or so in the town, but you have them all behind you and obviously your brother Morgan.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, the municipality is about 700, but I think the town's probably like 150, like in the actual town. So, no, again, it's a lot of fun. I think, you know, me and my brothers don't take it for granted at all. You know, we all wear shirts like Strathclair's home and stuff like that. I think it's really important to us. And I think it's something pretty cool when you get to drive home and, you know, you see the old barn that you grew up in, you, like the literal barn, and, you know, there's only one street and, you know, you're waving to everyone and everyone kind of knows that you're back in town. So, you know, even my neighbors, you know, sometimes watch the game. So it's something that I'll never take for granted and always kind of cherish.
You mentioned your brothers, of course, and your brother Morgan is playing, you know, in the NHL. You know, how much, you know, how often are you sort of communicating with him and sort of, you know, maybe leaning on him for some of the advice? He's, you know, obviously a couple of years older than you, been through sort of some of this a little bit more, you know, a little bit more than you. You know, how do you rely on your brother maybe to go through the season and the success and sort of use him as a sounding board?
Yeah, I think, you know, for sure, I kind of use my whole family for resources, I would say, kind of in that way. We have a family group chat that's, you know, always flying with some chirps or, you know, some advice or whatever it is. But no, for sure, Morgan has been a big part in kind of what I do and, you know, watching him grow up and play hockey, him and Noah just letting me play with their friends is something too, right? That's kind of maybe why I'm so competitive or, you know, trying to make my mark. So, you know, I think it's something pretty special what he does and, you know, how he kind of does things around. You know, sometimes you can't even tell he's a hockey player. He's just one of those guys that, you know, he's super humble, super kind of to himself. And that's kind of something that I try and take from him the most, I would say.
And we got to mention Morgan Stats, 4 goals, 8 points with the Kraken. The Kraken off to a good start the season. So we got to get that in there. And I wanted to ask you, Connor, about, I know it's a little while ago and your focus right now is on the ice, obviously, but Are you able to just take us back to your experience with the Coyotes training camp? Obviously, first round pick. Just, you know, what was that like? The overall experience for you.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, they're a super good organization. You know, they took care of me pretty well up there. I was there for, I think, 2 months in the summer, 3 months in the summer, and, you know, stayed there for, you know, rookie camp and training camp and stuff like that. But, you know, all the guys are great, right? They brought me in. Like, I've been there for a little while, and, you know, it's pretty special when you get to go through things like that. And the games were a lot faster paced, but, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was more to my play style, I guess you could say. And, you know, I had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs along the way too. So, you know, I'll never forget your first training camp, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Connor Geeky of the Winnipeg Ice is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. The Winnipeg Ice in action later tonight against the Regina Pats at Wayne Fleming Arena.
No, Connor, speaking of the Coyotes, how often, I know you're focused on the ice and what you're doing here, but how often do you hear from them and do they communicate regularly, just touching base with you, finding out, you know, about training, that sort of thing?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, they try and come out like once a month, you know, whoever it is, whether it's a skills coach or skating coach, you know, nutritionist, all those kind of people. So, you know, they're super good with always keeping in touch and always wanting me to get better. I think that's something that, that's kind of their motto is, you know, always, you know, 1% better every day. And I think, you know, I try and take that into my everyday life, right? Whether it's, you know, making your bed or whatever it may be, I think it's something that you can really, you know, use kind of outside of hockey, but especially in hockey as well.
So hang on, you're just telling me that all my reason for lack of success at the hockey is that I didn't make my bed, so that I can go back and I can start. That's going to be the tipping point of my career now there, Connor.
You can ask my mom. I didn't make my bed either, so I think you're out of luck.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Drew, because I always make my daughter's 4 and a half, and I make her bed, and I always give my wife a hard time when she doesn't make her bed, because when I was growing up, my dad always said, you got to make your bed, right? So
100%, 100%.
Let me ask you, Connor, obviously, you know, last year you were drafted, or this past offseason you were drafted. You had a great year last year with the ice. This year, like, how does your approach change, if at all, between the year that you're draft eligible and then the year after when you've already been drafted?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it changed a whole lot. You know, obviously I'm, you know, super excited that I got drafted and, you know, all that good stuff. But when you come down to it, I'm kind of just trying to learn from last year, you know, losing Edmonton like that, mm-hmm. and kind of seeing how they went through it. I think it's something for our team and kind of what we want to do that, you know, we want to get to that next level. You know, we want to make it to the Memorial Cup. We want to, you know, bring something back in here to Winnipeg. So I think that's kind of where it changes the most is, you know, what we got to do to be able to get to that point and, you know, obviously win a championship with this team.
Connor, I got to ask you about Matthew Savoy, because I thought it was funny. Everybody knows Connor Bedard is going to most likely go first overall in the 2023 NHL draft, but your good friend Matthew Savoy scored 3 goals and 6 points in that game, and I thought that was funny that everybody was talking about Connor Bedard. I get it, but can you just talk about, I mean, I know we missed a few games, but can you just talk about, you know, your close relationship? You guys were a couple picks away in the most recent NHL draft, but just how impressive he has been and that 6-point performance against the Pats. I mean, I can't give that enough shout outs because he was incredible in that game.
Yeah, no, he's a special type of player. You know, you don't always see someone like Sav come across your table every day. Honestly, once in a blue moon. You know, we're pretty close. We're really good friends. You know, the draft was a pretty cool experience, you know, sitting right beside each other, kind of going through it. I'd say we're best friends at this point, you know, going through all that good stuff. And like I said, he's a special player. You know, he does something special with the puck every night. And he always has a highlight reel play, whether he finishes it or not. You know, he always does something that makes me awe too. So,
you know, Connor, one of the things you have to have is goaltending, and you guys have Daniel, Hauser, and he's managed to put up what I think he's 14-0 right now in net for you guys. So, what kind
he's the
of
the front runner for the Cy Young right now?
Yeah, exactly. So what has he kind of brought for you guys in terms of stability in net?
Yeah, Howie's Howie's something special. I think, you know, a lot of people take it for granted, you know, how good he actually is, because I think he's only 5'10", 5'9". You know, he's a small guy, but even in practice, you know, the things, like, we find it hard to score on him. It's not just, you know, he comes to play in games. He works really hard, and he's a great guy. You know, we love hanging around him. He's a funny dude, and, you know, he works hard. Like I said, he's pretty dedicated to what he needs to do, and, you know, having him behind us, it's always, you know, maybe we're down or we're up by one goal. It's always a sigh of relief.
You know, Connor, James Patrick is obviously the head coach of the Ice, you know, lengthy NHL career, you know, lengthy time behind the bench now at the Western Hockey League level. How is his approach maybe, or how is his handling of your treatment of the team sort of changed as you guys have begun to elevate your play and elevate your record over the last number of years?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll say one thing, I wouldn't be where I am without him. You know, I think he's been a mentor to me in that way, and whether it's playing the right way or, you know, just kind of how to handle adversity, I think he's really good with that kind of stuff. But you know, for our team, he's always pushing the pace. I think, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're 14-1 or you're 1-14. I think, you know, he takes it the same way, and I think that's what makes it so good. Is, you know, every practice, it's, you know, it's like, let's get your hard hats on and let's go to work. It's not about, oh, well, let's have a fun day because we're 14-1. It's not about that. It's you know, he really pushes us, and I think that's what makes us so good, right? It's something that we all thrive for, and we all have the same common goal as well. So it kind of comprehends us pretty good.
Sorry, Ez, where are you going?
No, I can ask a question, Drew, but go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, Connor, you know, with obviously Connor Bedard is in town tonight and all the hype around him, does that provide you guys, and it's a team game, so obviously one guy, you know, isn't the determining factor, but does that provide you with maybe a little bit more motivation to say, hey, you know, enough chat about him, or though, you know, he gets his due props, but look at our team, look at our record, look what we've accomplished, maybe more eyeballs on us and a little less eyeballs on him.
Yeah, I think, you know, you obviously got to take into consideration how good he is. You know, everyone's seen, you know, what he can do with the puck and playing instruments. You know, obviously he's the projected first overall pick for a reason. But again, I think, you know, it's one of those things where, I love, you know, him coming into the building. I think it brings crowds to us, and it really goes to show that, you know, we are a good team. Obviously nothing towards, to Connor Bedard. Like, he's a great player, but, you know, like you said, it's a team sport. I think, you know, we really have this, this down pat right now. And I think, for the most part, we're just focused on winning and, you know, trying to shut him down, because obviously he can win a game in a heartbeat.
You can show him who the better Connor is. That's okay. We have no problem with that. I wanted to ask you about Zach Benson, right? Because I think a lot of people don't realize that Zach is 17 years old. We should mention, Connor, you're only 18. And so, I mean, I think, you know, that should be mentioned as well. But I was going to ask you, like, just back to what we were talking about with Matt Savoy, who you guys mentioned are very close. Like, is that something that you're relishing this year? Like, he's going through kind of the same thing, right? Because he's a projected top 10 pick. And I imagine that you guys keep a little bit of an eye on that type of stuff, but your focus is obviously on the ice and how your game and how your team's game is improving. So has that been something that you've liked this year, that kind of, you know, with Zach, you're kind of just bringing him along, and he obviously is having a great season for the ice as well. But is that something that you guys have talked about, just kind of the same sort of things that you've gone through with being projected first round picks last year?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think, Benny, you know, doesn't get enough recognition, in my opinion. You know, I think I've played with him for 4 years now, you know, since we were 15 and 16, and, you know, he's been a special player ever since. We always knew he was going to be that good. I think when it comes down to it, you know, he comes to us if he needs to. You know, we're not gonna, you know, barge in on his business. I think, you know, if he wants to talk about all this team, you know, what are they going to ask at dinner or something like that? I think me and Sav have the answer, but, you know, we're kind of just there. You know, we're not going to, you know, tell them what to say and how to do things. We just kind of, we're there for support and more or less, kind of have fun with it. That's always said, is just kind of stay in the moment. It's a pretty cool experience. You'll never have it again, right? So it's, you know, we try and do that for him a little bit. Obviously he picks and chooses whether he listens to us. No, he's an awesome guy. He's a great kid. You know, I love playing with him, and, you know, I'd say we have a pretty good relationship too.
The Winnipeg Ice are 19-1. Connor Geeky is one of the driving forces of that success. They're in action tonight against the Regina Pats at Wayne Fleming Arena. Connor, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us right after you got off the ice for your morning skate. Continued success to you and your teammates, and we'll keep track and be in touch again real soon. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes, Connor Geeky. Thanks, joining Connor. Us this morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Great way to wrap up this Saturday show. A lot of fun this Saturday. Big thank you to everyone for joining us.
You might want to mention the breaking news. Nikolaj Ehlers needs sports hernia surgery, and he's having it next week.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
We sort of were waiting for that.
I guess we're going a little bit late this morning, boys.
Well, I mean, there you go.
We can't end the show now, Drew.
Well, I mean, you know, there is, you sort of thought it was going to come. You sort of felt that other shoe was going to drop.
No timeline on the return.
Is that from the team?
Mike McIntyre did.
Yeah, and the team is, everyone's tweeting it. Rick Bowness at the podium right now addressing that. So Nikolaj Ehlers, sports hernia surgery next week. No timeline for return. Yeah. I'm not even going to speculate how long that's going to be.
You can imagine weeks.
It's certainly going to be.
I'm getting the website pumped, guys. Let's just do it. Let's keep another hour in the show.
Yeah. I mean, you would expect it's at least going to be. I'd say, again, 4 to 6, 6 to 8. Those are your sort of optimistic estimates on something like that. It's going to be a while that the Winnipeg Jets are without Nikolaj Ehlers, and you know, does that change the course of action like we talked about in the hour number one? Boy, does hour number one get even look a little more relevant now that this news comes out just as the show wraps up. So
hour one's a little bit dated, Drew.
No, it's not though. We talked about the trade. We talked about a trade possibility. So you can go back and you can rehash that conversation now that we know that Nikolaj Ehlers is undergoing sports hernia surgery and going to be out of the Winnipeg Jets lineup for an extended period of time. Just terrible news for a guy that everyone said that they thought was primed for a breakout. This was going to be the year that he was going to really sort of affirm himself on the top of the Jets roster. The good news is that Rick Bowness said that Ehlers is expected back this season. He emphasizes, according to John Liu, that Nikolaj Ehlers will play again this season. So if you want to look for the silver lining in that, it is that it's not a season-ending injury. He's going to be out of the Jets lineup for the foreseeable future, and the Jets are going to have to learn how to continue to win without the dashing Dane that is Nikolaj Ehlers. Dylan DeMello update. He skated this morning, not ready to play tonight. The hope is for a Monday return to the lineup for Dylan DeMello. So it's basically the same roster. And
Capobianco is playing.
Right. Same roster that the Jets went with on Thursday against the Anaheim Ducks. You will see iced, pardon the pun there, with Connor Geeky having joined us. You will see iced tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll have extensive coverage all day long, of course, on our website, illegalcurve.com.
It's already updated, folks.
Dave M is, I don't know how he does it. He's got an evil brother. He's got a clone that we don't know about.
Those little sausage fingers were moving quite quickly.
I may or may not have already written it. I had 90% of it written, but it's all good.
That's also the trick behind the scenes is you know where it's going. You have the content written. You can just plug in the details after and get it up on the site. So check it out.
I said David Curve. Sausage fingers. If anything, mine are much thicker. Dave has very, very nice fingers.
Just go eat some sausage and stop talking right now there, Mr. Ginsburg.
People don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Definitely go for some farmer sausage right now.
Post-game show tonight between 8:45 and 9 o'clock after the Jets and the Penguins. And again, of course, Monday after the Jets and the Carolina Hurricanes. Big thanks to Mike McIntyre for joining us on the show earlier today. Big thanks to Connor Geeky for joining us on the show a few minutes ago. The Moose in action, the Ice in action tonight. It's all going to be covered in depth, extensively, on illegalcurve.com. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button. I know you've done it, but do it again. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'm sure you have already done that, but in case you haven't, you should do that. Follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Mastodon. So, you know, you can check us out.
Which one of you guys created the Mastodon account?
I did. I get credit for that. I didn't want somebody swooping in there and stealing the sought after Illegal Curve username. So we're on Mastodon now. Don't expect a lot of action on Mastodon.
Drew, you have no idea what Mastodon is, do you?
I set up the account. As far as I'm concerned, I've done my job here, but we are there as well. Big thank you to everybody for joining us. Big thanks to our sponsors. You got to give them a big props. I know Frosty Winnipeg already did it already in the chat, but I'll do it on the air. A big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve. They make the Saturday show, the post game show, the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Ryan Niemiller in town. Two shows tonight. They're all sold out. Most of next week's shows are also all sold out. So get the few tickets that are available to see David Lucas online at rumorscomedyclub.com. Our friends at Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway. Took us some more money on Betway last night in college football. My apologies to my friends there, but don't worry, I'm very good at giving it all back. Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, Grid Park, and The Keg support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. If you know of a business, if you have a business, if you're friends with a business that you think should be a sponsor on this fine show, please put us in touch with them. You can email any of us. Info.
Did you guys get that email from Ginsburg Corp, by the way?
Yeah, no, I filed it next to the one from the Human Fund, Ezzy. So don't expect a quick response there for Ginsburg Corp, but we do appreciate all that support and people looking out for our best interests. Also, if you can comment on the podcast. That's always helpful, you know, helps with the algorithm. I don't really know what the algorithm is or what it does, but I'm told it helps with that. So leave us some feedback wherever you download the podcast edition of the show from as well. We'll be back later tonight. Dave and Ezzy will be more specifically until around 8:45 tonight.
Hold on. I was waiting for you because I thought it was coming.
Oh, Bombers. Bombers.
There you go, Drew.
Sorry, Bombers.
Bombers are going for the third Grey Cup in a row tomorrow. You haven't even mentioned it yet.
You know what? I'm tomorrow is fully focused on the Bombers. How great would it be to see them win their third Grey Cup in a row and to see it
in Regina?
That's right, on the field of their hated rivals in Regina. The Rough Riders, you know, they had a great season. They were so close to winning six games that they were just on the cusp of doing it, but unfortunately they weren't quite able to qualify for the playoffs. Maybe better luck next year there in Saskatchewan. But wouldn't it be great to see the Bombers hoist the Grey Cup for a third consecutive time on the field at Mosaic Stadium? And what an organization it'll be. And that's where my focus will strongly be there tomorrow night. And I'm very glad there's not a Jets game tomorrow night so we can revel in the Bombers and hopefully their success in the Grey Cup tomorrow night. So I'm not even going to ask you for predictions, because if you're not predicting the Bombers, I don't want to hear from you.
No,
that's it.
No need for predictions.
No need
Bombers
for
bringing home the third Grey Cup in a row. I just thought we
don't give any guarantees, because your guarantees suck. So just say go Bombers and be done with it there, Mr. Okay. Kiss of Death that you are. Big thanks to everybody for joining us. Dave M's working on the website. That's why he's not looking at the camera. We'll let it slide this time. In case you missed any of the show,
I'm pretty sure Dave's looking at Nikolai Ehlers x-rays right now.
Legal Curve.
There you go. In case you missed any of it, the instant replay is immediately available on YouTube. And of course, the podcast will be up soon enough. We'll see you later tonight for the Illegal Curve post-game show. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.